you have to be able to know exactly where you want to go. It's going to be a divergent path, but then on your way there, you have to just block it out and put your head down and just keep plowing through, because it's not going to be easy. You're going to encounter all these things that you didn't realize you were going to encounter, and you have to just keep going.
Welcome to the Empowered Woman Podcast, the number one show on visibility strategies for women entrepreneurs. If you want to get empowered to be seen, stand out on social media, stages, TV, and more, to make an impact with your voice and business, you're in the right place. I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Marcia Spurk, and I'm your host, professional singer and visibility strategist. Welcome again, and let's dive into today's episode. One thing I don't talk about enough is the impact podcasting has had on my professional life and how it opened so many doors for me. So if you want to start a podcast or you want to level up your current one, then you need to work with my podcast strategist, Juliana Barbati. She owns a podcast marketing and production agency, and her team takes care of everything from editing and optimizing to scheduling for you, making this process a breeze for you. She's seriously the best. All her info is in the show notes. You can go to julianabarbati.com and tell her I sent you.
Hi, Marley. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yes, me too. Well, I am super excited for our listeners to hear more about your entrepreneurial journey and what you do. First of all, I love the name of your business, but I'll let you introduce yourself. Tell us more about who you are and what you do.
Okay. I'm Marley Major. My company is called The Party Goddess, and we are a celebrity-based catering and event planning company in Los Angeles, but we travel. And I should say that's my core business, because it branched out from there and ended up writing a book and doing kind of business coaching and stuff, teaching people not to make the mistakes that I made all along the way.
That's the beautiful thing about the entrepreneurial journey. You learn so many things and you're like, I need to tell someone else about this. They can learn.
Please do not do this.
Yeah, totally. Well, now you're going to have to tell us a little bit more, which I'm assuming that's part of what's in your book. What is the title of your book?
It's called, But Are You Making Any Money? And it's a question my dad would ask me regularly when I'd be in business, and I would be focused on, in those days we didn't have social media, but I would be focused on like the latest celebrity client or project we were doing. And he was like, but are you making any money? Because at the end of the day, that's the purpose of a business, is to actually make money. And that's the difference between a hobby and a nonprofit, which I think many times he thought I was engaged in.
Yeah, it's typical that our family members are not really much of believers when we first step into this journey, because, you know, they want what's best for us. I understand that. But yeah, so now I'm super curious, how did you get into this? How did you get into event planning? Tell us more.
So I got my business degree from Georgetown, and the summer before my junior year, I was like, well, I don't have anything like in particular planned. Nothing was really that exciting to me. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? The French embassy was very close to Georgetown. So I went to the French embassy and I figured, okay, this is cool. I found some programs and I was like, I'm going to go to cooking school in Paris for the summer and I'm going to have a French tutor. And like my parents should be fine with that because it's like somewhat educational. So I went off to Paris by myself and got an apartment and then stayed there and then came back, and it was my junior year. And we had an assignment for one of my classes, which was to do a speech on what I knew more about than anybody else. And at Georgetown, that was absolutely nothing. There was nothing I knew more about than these. So I was like, what am I going to do? And my mom was like, just do it on French cooking. There's no way these kids know more about than you do. So I thought, okay. So I run into my professor, because in those days you were still developing film, actually. And I was headed to get my film for my trip. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in your class and I'm doing my project on French cooking. And she was like thrilled. And I just blurted out, and I have an interview with the chef from 1789. 1789 is this very fancy, like old school restaurant in Georgetown. And I did not have an interview with that chef. I didn't know who the chef was. I go home in tears and I'm just saying to my roommates, oh my gosh, what have I done here? This is insane. And I've just lied to my professor. And so they're like, no worries, we'll get you this interview. He's this new chef from New York. I was like, all I just need to see him and be like, talk to him so I can say yes. Okay, there was some connection. Well, the kitchen is in like the basement of this old Georgetown kind of townhouse. And I thought, so I introduce myself and I take one look at him and decide that I'm going to marry him. And that's going to be difficult because I don't even know how I'm ever going to see him again. and he's 20 years older than I am. And he works in a basement, basically a very fancy basement, but still is a basement. So the whole time I'm trying to multitask and think like, how am I going to marry this guy and finish this interview? And so I kind of assessed the situation as quickly as I could. And I realized he didn't speak much Spanish. I took Spanish in high school and I was thinking, well, I'm going to certainly take a lot more of it. And I also realized they had souffles on the menu. And souffles are notoriously difficult to make, like for a restaurant, at least consistently and well. So I was like, okay, focus on these things. So then after my interview, I was like, oh, I needed a follow-up. I guess I was doing my dissertation on French cooking. And I just was like, can I come back? And he was like, whatever. Well, anyway, my whole goal was to get him to go back so I could like see him and then start this potential marriage proposal. So I went back and he was, at the time, he said he was very skeptical. And then I just ended up picking up every single shift and working. I'd get out of school at 2:30 and then work 3:30 to 11:30, 3 days a week. And I was just killing myself for this whole junior year. And then before my senior year, I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to Normandy to go to cooking school because obviously I'm not married. And so I'm going to go to cooking school. So I go back to Normandy. And then the whole summer, I plot how I'm going to quit and ruin his life because by now I'm like his translator, I'm his souffle girl and everything. And I come back and then I tell him I quit and he asked me if I'd like to have dinner. And then I get engaged the month after graduation. So there you go. And then it just depends on where you want to take the story from there. But if you marry a chef and you ever want to see them, then you get into the restaurant business, which I did. So we got into the restaurant business back in my hometown of Pasadena, California. And then that kind of started the whole journey of obviously he was this amazing or is this amazing chef. And I was in charge of the numbers and all that stuff, which would be like make sense since I did have a business degree. But that is where kind of the wheels fell off the bus because so many entrepreneurs, I could not figure out how to apply like basic stuff to my own business. I just couldn't read the label from inside the jar. And so that started this whole journey of where I ended up writing the book, But Are You Making Any Money? Based on all the mistakes I made and the fact that my goal was to do $1 million in sales the first year, which I did. And I was like, thank you. But I forgot like business 101, which is that your revenue has to exceed your expenses. Mm-hmm. And so if you do $1 million, that's awesome. You hit your goal. But if you spend 1.1, you're headed in the wrong direction. So that was the beginning of the end or beginning of the end. And then the beginning, whatever you want to call it.
Oh my gosh. First of all, you are hilarious. You had me cracking up. And especially with the fact that you did end up marrying him because when I did not, I could not have foreseen where the story was going.
Well, nobody can. It's like, they think they're like, okay, yeah. Huh? And I'm like, no, if I set my mind to something like that is it. Now I might set my mind to something and realize there's a cliff or not realize there's a cliff on the other side, but I've been like, listen, that's what I'm going to do. And I charge straightforward.
Yeah.
So
in many ways, this is a very important quality as an entrepreneur. Otherwise, you will.
Yes.
Very easily. First problem, first obstacle, bump in the road that you hit, which there are going to be so many along the way. Okay. I want to keep hearing the story because you're an amazing storyteller too. I was very engaged. So you go to California, you start the business, you start understanding that things are not as easy as they seem because you didn't have the know-how.
Right.
You opened up a restaurant. How did you get to the event planning and to all the other things?
So what happened was, unfortunately, I was also full of my own hot air. And so, because we didn't have social media, right? It was the newspapers. So here I am like on the front page of the business section of the newspaper, because let's face it, it's a great story. He's 20 years older than I am. I've just graduated from college. We have this restaurant that's, quote, super successful. At least it's very successful on the outside. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm freaking the bomb here. And then so my cloud just keep going and going. But then here's the thing is that now what's the best thing for a marriage is romance and all that stuff. And it's really an added benefit when you have financial trouble, right? So here in or like I'm focused on the numbers. I can't get the numbers to work. So then I'm like, okay, how is this now? Our marriage is like challenged. And I'm thinking, but this is part of this whole picture, right? Is this like amazing story. So then I think, okay, this is the next best thing. Let's just get pregnant. Because if I get pregnant, isn't that going to help, right? And so now I have a baby growing up in front of the cappuccino machine because it's noisy and free. And people like cappuccino in Pasadena, but it just keeps getting worse and worse, right? Then I have this very bad skiing accident. So now I am like, my marriage is in trouble. Like basically everything is in trouble, including my leg from the waist down where I'm in this brace and now I'm in rehab. not like alcohol, not that there's anything wrong with alcohol rehab, but I was in like physical rehab. So my dad is just, because my dad was our partners and we own the land. This is key. So he's like, listen, you love the parties and we keep getting these offers to partner up. Why don't you do that? And I was just like, no, because I don't want to look like I failed, which was very obvious to everybody that I was sliding down a mountain quickly. But then I was like, okay, fine. We cut this deal, which ended up being the best deal of our lives. And then my husband and I split. We're still the best of friends. So just put a pin in that. But then I go on to do events and I'm at the lowest point in my life, literally the lowest point. I'm like, okay, what? I don't even know what my company name is going to be. And so I just is like freaking the party goddess, right? If you're underground, might as well just come up with a go big or go home. And basically I was in those days, the only people that had event planners were if you did a huge wedding, you know, and you had a wedding planner, if you were a huge corporation, you'd have a big corporate planner. But I was like, why can't I take all those components as like me, myself, and I, since I'm used to coordinating them anyway. And instead of having the person hire a caterer and hire the florist and hire the, I will coordinate all those things for them, like a general contractor.
Yeah.
And so I just hung my shingle out with that. And then I started doing that and it started, I was really good at it. But the problem is that I thought, okay, I don't have 100 employees anymore. I don't have all this overhead. But I still was having the same problems because I had not focused on what is my pricing going to be? What are my margins? How much time does it take me to service each client? Blah, 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 blah. And when you repeat the set, you can paint the house white again, but guess what? The mold is still going to go through. And that's what happened with me. And then I went on to try to fix my own problems. And then in the process, wrote my book, basically 100% solely to fix my own problems. But other people were like, we have those same problems. And I was like, I am the last person you want to learn that from, but you're asking, I'll tell you. And then the rest is history, because then I ended up getting celebrity clients. And then all of a sudden, when I got a celebrity client, which was amazing to me, because I thought I have to stand out in this world, right? There's like a gazillion event planners in LA and New York are so competitive. And I can call myself the party goddess all day long, which is my fake it till I make it strategy. But I actually had to make it at some point. And so then when I got celebrity clients, which was amazing to me, all of a sudden I'm this great event planner. And I was like, okay, well, I was a really good event planner before, but that's what this world wants to see. That was like the, oh, check the box. So all of a sudden here I have this book. Now they're like, oh, celebrity event planner, Marlene Major. And I'm on Fox Business and all these other shows. They were like, oh, no problem. And it just goes to show you that whole thing about if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it or sees it or whatever, did it really fall? Not really, because it took my tree to fall and I had to just scream, hey, it fell. And then everybody's, okay, great. Like, we'll put her on TV. You could do anything you wanted almost.
Yeah.
And that was a huge lesson for me, is that you have to be really good, yes, at what you do, and you have to serve a need and all those things. But you also have to make sure that you have to leverage all those data points to your specific target audience so that your target audience is very clear on what you do and so that they are making, to me at least, an emotional decision. I wanted people hiring me for emotion because let's face it, I was a commodity in a lot of ways, right? There was always food that was going to be cheaper. There were always flowers that were going to be cheaper. I wanted them to be like, honey, I don't care. I have to have her. As long as I could get the wife to say that, it didn't matter if I was more expensive. That was my theory, mm-hmm. which ended up paying off. Mm-hmm. So that was the giant lesson that you can paddle all day long under the water, but you've got to actually have the consumer perceive you as what they want and valuable, and preferably make those emotional decisions so they whip out the credit card, because it's much easier that way to build a brand than to just say, hey, I'm really good at what I do. Try it. You'll see.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I could listen to you talk all day. I suspect the book, I hope the book is as fun as you.
Just, and fortunately it is. Yeah. People are like, oh, that's a great book. Like, I couldn't put it down. And I'm like, yeah, well, just imagine living it. And by the way, that's the sanitized version. Like the blood, sweat, and tears, I try to make show up so that people realize like I have enough credibility that I do know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, it's a simple book. It's a simple concept, but you have to peel it back and then be like, whoa. It's so simple and it seems so obvious, but at the end of the day, we focus on all these other things and marketing and sales and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, to me, the biggest issue is we don't know where we're spending our time and we don't properly take that into consideration when we price our product or our service or how long it takes to create a podcast, for example. Like, I bet if you told people how long it takes to create a podcast, they'd be like, oh, there's no way to create a 30-minute podcast.
Right.
It takes you that many hours and that many people. But it does. Mm-hmm. And that was my secret sauce, is really getting gritty and working with people and being like, okay, yeah, I know you say it only takes you this amount of time, but how long does it take you to drive there? And how many texts are you sending your client? How many phone calls are you on with your client? How many Zooms are you on with your client? How many calls are you on with the vendors you're working with the client? Like setting it up, all those things. And then when people start tracking their time and they start going, holy cow, like no wonder I'm not making any money, because I'm putting all my time into this client because they're high maintenance and they keep calling me. And it's just amazing. You have to change your mindset, which is the secret to so many things, but it really boils down to time. It doesn't boil down to, I need more customers usually.
That's powerful. And I do want to get into more of how you help business owners with coaching and giving them that, but I have to go back and talk about the celebrity, because that's fun and people want to know, I'm sure. What were some of the celebrities that you worked with, and how was the experience?
If anybody has ever ridden a camel versus riding a horse, you get on a horse, you go like trot away, you get on a camel, you're like, what? You go, and then you're like off in the desert. It seems, oh, what's the big deal? It's just one kind of client versus another. And it's a huge deal, because with celebrities come so many things. First of all, the time frames are much shorter, because why? They can be. The celebrities can call you at any point, and if they don't get me, there's 20 other people who will just stand in line to work with them. So the time frames are shorter. A lot of times the expectation, not a lot of times, the expectations are usually through the roof. And then you have all these things like paparazzi and stuff to take into consideration that you usually don't have for just even, quote, a wealthy client. And we've done stuff for Pierce Brosnan and Sofia Vergara, Gwyneth Paltrow, Snoop Dogg, Britney Spears. The list goes on and on. All kinds of event, Jennifer Love Hewitt. And the common denominator is, A, you have to be extremely detail oriented. You have to listen to every single thing that comes out of their mouths, because if they say, oh, I don't like, making this up, carrot sticks, they cannot show up anywhere ever in their world. Like those stories of like J-Lo's contract with the remove the green M&Ms to be in her green room. Those are true. And that is emphasized 1,000 times with celebrity clients. You have to be on your game. You have to be able to pivot in 5 seconds. If they want to change, you make the change, and it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am kind of thing. And then you have to be able to keep your mouth shut, because these are people who the world is trying to sell them out. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they are bitchy when they're dealing with you. I mean, understandably, they've got a lot riding on it. And the other component with celebrities, remember, is that there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right? So the celebrity, him or herself, wants something for a party. But then don't forget, the manager might want something different. And the publicist wants to clean up the image or promote a movie or whatever. And then the lawyers are like, oh my God, hello, we can't do that. So it's like everybody has a different stake in the game. And so you have to really be able to focus on total minutia, but then also really look at the big picture and be like, who are the key players here? And am I hitting all the points? Because the client can be super happy, but if the lawyer is no, and you're just dead in the water.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Super cool to get the behind the scenes look into it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm super excited. So let's talk more about the coaching. So obviously this, and then going forth in reading your book, which is on Amazon, by the way, so people can go find it. I'll make sure and put that in the show notes. You'll learn more about the lessons and your tips. But what are some different ways that you work with people right now, with entrepreneurs?
First of all, we're launching a new online program in the next couple months. So that'll be one way for sure. I haven't done this since before the pandemic. And while I continue to do interviews, of course, during the pandemic, that was easy to do interviews and that kind of stuff. I love, 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 like, you can work with me one-on-one. Granted, there's not tons of spots because I have a lot going on. But like the whole group piece, which is what's going to happen when I launch this program, is another way. And I think that's a great way to dip your toes and be like, is this girl for me? At the end of the day, I always say you can't con a con. You need an addict to get another addict out, because somebody can't tell me, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I have kids. I'm like, girl, I got 3 kids, 2 ex-husbands. But yeah, I've got all these businesses. I've got employees, payroll, mortgages. Yep. So I got it. You're going to have an excuse. I've had all of them times 10. And guess what? You're still going to have to track your time for me every week. So I'm not for everybody because I'm not necessarily the soft place to land. Like I am when something legit happens and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. You need to fix your contract. Get a lawyer. Here's my lawyer. They're amazing. But I work with people best who want results, want to be held accountable, realize they clearly aren't doing something right. Or none of us are doing everything right anyway. But you need somebody else from the outside to show you, hey, listen, I think it's this and this. And that's my gift, is to be able to cut through so much baloney and noise. And they're telling me the story. And I'm like, thank you, but I already got it. I figured out the problem. It's here and here. And they're like, how did you know that? And I'm like, A, show me how somebody spends their time. I can tell you what their financial statements look like, because it's, you've got to be very focused on certain things.
Love that. Cool. And shortly, I will ask you how people can find you so they can stay tuned for when you release the program. But here's my $1 million question for you that I ask all of my guests. Are you ready?
Yeah. I am. Marley, I hope.
You are. Marley, what is an empowered woman?
To me, an empowered woman is somebody who can put the Bose headphones on and block out the noise. Mm. An empowered woman is somebody who knows their own North Star. For me, for example, I've always set goals. I've always written the goals. I don't just think about them. I write them. I cut out a picture or whatever. I know exactly where I want to go. I course correct as I go along. But at the end of the day, I'm not willing to listen to all this noise that's saying, oh, you can't do it, or that's a dumb idea. Pretty much every idea I've ever had, according to most people, is dumb. But I pulled it off, right? Like when people were laughing that my company was called the Party Goddess, and I was like, one day I will show you. And it's like, damn, have I shown them? So you have to be able to know exactly where you want to go. It's going to be a divergent path, but then on your way there, you have to just block it out and put your head down and just keep plowing through, because it's not going to be easy. You're going to encounter all these things that you didn't realize you were going to encounter, and you have to just keep going. That's that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I think you're the first person that said, put the headphones on.
Because here's the thing, you put the headphones on after you've already decided. Like, I know, tell you, I have it written down, what I want in my grave, on my gravestone, what I want people to say, whatever, that guides me, right? Because you don't want them to say she's a witch and she's this and that. And I am a lot of those things. But it's like my overarching, I have to keep coming back to, what's the end game with all this? The end game is so that people feel better at the end of the day having met me or having had me in their lives than they did if I weren't there. If I got that far, right? Hey, listen, I pulled it off. And then there's all these details that are very well thought out. But it's, you decide for yourself. You have the confidence to decide. You've been critically thinking. You've come up with other options. You're like, nope, this is what I want. Yeah. And then you put the noise-canceling headphones on and you get to work and you stay at work. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and you go, okay, and you go back to the goals. Might change them in the meantime, but you can do that with your headphones on.
Love it. So good. Tell us how we can find you so we can know more info on your programs and all the things.
Sure. So the easiest way is on our Profit Goddess Instagram. We have the Party Goddess and the Profit Goddess, but the Profit Goddess Instagram is at the Profit Goddess. Okay. And of course, I would love it for anybody who goes to Amazon and buys the book, but are you making any money?
I love the title too. You have to thank your dad for that one. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. You are so fun. I had the best time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode empowered you. And if you enjoyed the show, please join the Empowered Woman community on Facebook and share with friends or leave a review on iTunes so more people can discover this empowering message. Until next time, bye.